Sechtes Chulin, Daf Lamed Ches, two lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Zayin and Beis, and let us review a few points from our Mishnah, as our Mishnah taught us that even in Chatkila, one can shecht an animal that's Mesukenes, as long as it's Mefecheses, and as long as it shows signs of life. The Gemara will bring three Shitais, if the sign of life could even be at the beginning of Shechita, or it must show a sign of life closer to the end of Shechita, which the Gemara will call Be'emtza, or would have to show signs of life right after one finishes Shechita, which the Gemara will refer to as Seif Shechita, and the Mishnah brought three different Shitais as to what is considered a sign of life. And Rav Shimon Gamliel, or as we were going, Rav Gamliel Ima, Atshe Tefaches Biyadav Regel, that its foreleg and its hind leg has to move, while Rav Elezer Ima, Dayim Zinka, and Rav Elezer holds that it would be enough. The animal coughs up blood, however, Rav Chacham Oimim, Atshe Tefaches, Oy Biyad Oy Regel, Oy Atshe Tkashkesh Biznava, even if the animal was only Mefaches, either its foreleg or its hind leg, or if it only moved its tail, that would suffice. The Mishnah then taught us that behemoth daka shepashtu yadav leichsir psula, that is not a sign of life, as ein elo hitzas nefesh bilvad, as this is a normal involuntary movement that a behemoth daka does right after it's already dead, and this wouldn't be enough for a proof of life. And our Gemara now begins, ashkechinu Shmuel talmid rav, that Shmuel found a talmid of rav, and amalu, and he said to them, my omer rav mesukenes, what halacha have you heard from rav in the inyan of mesukenes? And Amulei, and they told Shmuel, Hachi Amar Rav, that Rav stated as follows, and we continue on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Alef, that Goya v'til reyu v'kishkish kabazna ha-reze pichos, if an animal would make a loud noise, and for example, if it was a cow, it would move very loudly, and Rashi brings from Iyuv in Perek Vav, the Pasuk uses the term of Goya, and as the Pasuk states, im yigesh shar al-buliloi, if the animal would release its waist, or it would bend or wiggle its ear, that those would be signs of life, and therefore, the behemoth would be kosher. The Gemara tells us that Shmuel was bothered with this memory of Rav, as Rav stated that one of the signs of life is kishkish ba'ozna, and Shmuel holds that it's very difficult for an animal to bend its ear, and if a mesukenes bends its ear, then certainly that would be a sign of life, and that would not be a chiddush. And as the Gemara continues, Amalhu, that Shmuel said to Talmid of Rav, Srichale la'abala zuze uni, that do we really need Rav to teach us that if an animal moves its ear, then that's a sign of life? Surely, even if an animal moves in a way that is easier than moving its ear, then that would still be considered a sign of life. And as Shmuel states, Shani Oimer, Kol She'ino Dvarim Shamesa Isa, any action that an animal does is not something that would be an involuntary action that any animal that dies would take, is considered a sign of life. And as Rashi explains, She'ino Mesa Isa, V'shasei Tzos Nefesh Karlo Mesa, certainly if an animal does take that action, then it can't be that it's already considered dead at that point. When Shmuel use the term mesa, it's referring to an animal at the time of death, and means that the animal at that point was still considered alive. And as we saw in our Mishnah, that a behemoth daka does make involuntary movements even after it dies. And as our Mishnah stated, behemoth daka shepashtu yadav leichsir psula she'ina ala hitzas nefesh bilvad. And the Gemara continues and asks, "My ninu dvarim sham mesa isa?" What is an example of an involuntary action that a behemoth daka would make, and therefore would not be considered a sign of life? The Gemara explains, Rav Adnan explains that I was explained in the name of Rashmuel, if at the time of Shechita, foreleg of a behemoth daka was bent, then after Shechita, it stretched out its foreleg, that is something that a behemoth daka does at the point of Misa. Therefore, if the behemoth daka was a Mesukenes, then this would not be a sign of life, and the behemoth daka would be Pasul Bachila, whether Pshuta V'Kafva Dvarim She'ina Mesa Isa, but if the foreleg of a behemoth daka was stretched out, then it bent its foreleg after Shechita, then even though the behemoth daka only moved its leg in one direction, that is not a standard involuntary action of a behemoth daka, and therefore, even if this behemoth daka was a Mesukenes, it would still be kosher. And the Gemara continues and is bothered that Maikam Ashbalon Tanina, the Lachari, what is the Chiddush Rav Anon that explained this din in the name of Shmuel, if we already learned this in our Mishnah, as the Mishnah taught us, that by a behemoth daka shepashtu yadav leichsir psula she'ena leitzas nefesh, and it's clear harichsir kshira, if it was straight and it bent its leg, then it would be kosher. However, the Gemara responds, im masisin havmina dafka de kaifu pashtu v'ha de kaifla havo pshuta v'kafasa loi kamash blan. From our Mishnah, one may have thought that the Mishnah is teaching us that by a behemoth daka, if it was kafufa and then it stretched out its leg, then it's considered pasul. Similarly, if initially it was pshuta and then it bent its leg, then it would still be pasul, as the maisa only went in one direction. The only time it would be kosher, only if the foreleg was initially kafufa, then it stretched its leg, and once again bent its leg, therefore it did two complete actions. However, if initially it was stretched out, and it only did one action, and only bent its leg, then maybe it would still be pasul. Kamashmon, and that's why Rav Aaron taught us in the name of Shmuel, the only time that Mishnah said it was pasul was only in a case where initially it was bent and the behemoth daka stretched out its leg. However, if initially the behemoth daka's leg was stretched out, then it bent its foreleg and it only did one action, then it would still be kosher. And Ayin Rashi, who points out that when Shmuel referred to Rav, he referred to him as Abba, and Rashi explains, L'Rav habikar le Shmuel hachi mishum kavod, and this name was used by Shmuel as a derech kavod for Rav. And Ayin Taisis brings down from the Aruch that Rav's actual name was Abba, since Shmuel was a chava of Rav, so he referred to him as Abba. However, others referred to Abba as Rav, as this was a derech kavod, and just like we find that we call Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Rebbe, and Ayin Rashi Masechta Shabbos on Daf Nun Gimel Aleph, Rashi explained that the Lashon Abba, similar to the Lashon that Par used about Yosef HaTzadik in Parshas Mikates, and he called him Avrich, and there's a Lashon of Abba Malka, and Rashi therefore explains that the Lashon Abba is a Lashon of a chava, Ayin Shom. Our Gemara now continues, Meisvei, and the Gemara will ask a question on Rav, that Rav just stated that if an animal is Goya or Hatila Rei, then it's considered Pirchais, and therefore, even if the animal was Musukenes, the animal would be Kosher. And the Gemara asks a question from a Braisa, as Rabbi Yisi Oimer, Hayrameya Oimer, Goya B'Shash Shchita Inze Pirchais, that number one Rameya states that if an animal is Goya at the time of Shchita, then that would not be considered Pirchais, and that is not like Rav. And number two, Rabbi Yisi Oimer Mishmoy, that Rabbi Yisi said over in the name of his father Rabbi Yisi, that Afilu Atila Reyu V'Kishkish B'Znava Inze Pirchais, even if the animal releases waste or it wags its tail, then that is not considered Pirchais, that would not be a sign of life, and the animal would not be kosher. And Lamaisu Rav stated that one of the signs of life is Atila Reyi, and therefore the Gemara asked a question on Rav, that Kasha Goya Goya and Kasha Reyi Reyi, and the Gemara responds, Goya Goya Le Kasha Hada Ovikola Hada Amikola. When Rav stated that Goya is a sign of life, that was talking about an animal that makes a loud sound. When the Braisa stated that Goya is not a sign of life, that is referring to an animal that made a low sound. And similarly, Reya Reya Nami Le Kasha Kam B'Shesheses Kam Matresas, when the Braisa states that Til Reya is not a sign of life, that is where the Reya is Shesheses and it just drops down and doesn't come at an animal with force, and that would be standard for any animal that dies and therefore would not be a sign of life. However, Rav is talking about an animal, when it is Hitila Rei, it goes Limirachaik and goes further away from the animal. And since it came out of the animal with force, that would be a sign of life. The animal would be kosher. And Ayin Rashi, the Avikola, Shaykhila Ova, the Chazaka, the Vade Asamikayachias, and the Amikola, and this means a weak voice. And as the Pasuk states in Pashat Hazria, Behine Kea Nega, and the Targum states, Baha Amya Machtasha, and Ayin Tesis, who wants to explain the chil between the sheet of Rav and Shmuel, is that Rav holds like a Gamliel, and Shmuel is making a statement according to the Shita Chachamim. However, I and other Rishonim will explain that both Rav and Shmuel agree to the Shita Chachamim that the Shira Perchis is Ashita Perchis Oy Biyad Oy Buregel Oy Ashit Hashit Priznova. The Machlekes between Rav and Shmuel is as to what the Chachamim actually hold B'negei the Din of Perchis Ayin B'Rishonim. And according to this Mahalach, it would come out, even though Shmuel holds that by Behemadaka, if its foreleg was originally outstretched and then it bent it, that would be a sign of life. However, Rav would be chilek on Shmuel, as Rav holds that l'fi Rabbanon, we require a greater degree of pechas, and therefore l'fi Rav, the only way that would be a sign of life by behemah daka is only if initially the leg of the animal was bent and it then extends its leg and then it bends its leg once again, so that would be a sign of life and the behemah daka would be kosher. And keep in mind that in our Mishnah we saw the Shita Chachamim that when a behemah is kishkish b'znava, that would be a sign of life, and that would be considered pirchais, and certainly that would be like the Tanakhama of Abraisa, and not like Rabbi Elazar Rabbeisi, who stated that kishkish b'znava ain't a pirchais. Our Gemara now continues and brings it three-way machlekes as to when there has to be a sign of life, and Rav Chista states pirchais she'amru b'seif shchita, that this din of pirchais was stated at the end of shchita, and Rav Chista explains my b'seif shchita be'emsa shchita la'fukit chidle shchita d'loi. Rav Chista states that when I mentioned Seif Shchita, I'm not referring to having a sign of life. If few seconds after the behemoth dies, which is as Rava states, I just meant that by having a sign of life at the beginning of Shechita, that would not suffice, and one has to have a sign of life even closer to the end of Shechita. And Rashi is bothered that if this is what Rav Chista meant, then why did Rav Chista state b'sav Shechita? And Rashi explains that Rav Chista really meant Pircha she'amru ani shemati b'sav Shechita, that I heard that it refers to b'sav Shechita, and v'ani mefarish my b'sav Shechita she'shemati em sav Shechita hi, and therefore explaining that this member I heard that Pircha is b'sav Shechita, it didn't mean after Shechita, and it meant in the middle of Shechita, and behind the curry law b'sav Shechita lafukim b'tchila Shechita Pircha says kivin deb em sav Shechita loy Pircha says, so certainly loy have lo chiyusa ki hayasira dahu Pirchas have mishum nitzil zeshama. This type of pirchas is actually a sign of death and not a sign of life. And as our Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chista minar minala, and Rav Chista proved this point as the Tan, as we learned in our Mishnah, he mudaka shepashti yada v'leichzir psula, and some agurish she'in el hitzaras nefesh ha'ichzir k'shira. Rav Chista now continues emas, and when our Mishnah stated behimadaka shepashti yada v'leichzir psula, well, at what point did the behimadaka stick out its foreleg as ilayim b'sev shchita kolhechi tezu tezal? If you will explain that it's actually referring to the time frame of Rava, that will teach us that this pirchas has to happen a moment after death. How can you say that after the behemoth is already dead, that would have to be able to take such great action, be able to move its foreleg back and forth? Certainly it can't be that that would be the only sign of life, and therefore it must be that the Mishnah is teaching us that as long as we see that in the middle of shchita, behemoth daka is able to move its foreleg back and forth, so that is such a great sign of life that it must be that it was still alive even at the end of Shechita. That's why it would be kosher. And as Rav Chista continues, Elav b'emtza Shechita. However, the Gemara continues that as we mentioned, Rava will be the Ma'an Dama that holds that the sign of life has to be b'sev Shechita, meaning a moment after the behemoth is already dead. How will he respond to Rav Chista's question and Rav Chista's raya from Mishnah? And Amalei Rava, and our Gemara explains that Rava will respond to Rav Chista that Elav b'sev Shechita, that really this pirchas has to happen after the animal dies and after shchita. Shani oimer kol she'en oisa kim b'sev shchita b'yaduah nishmasa tulim and a kaidel l'chein. As if an animal doesn't make this movement a moment after shchita, then clearly we see that this animal was completely dead prior to the end of shchita. Therefore, this animal that was musukenes would be pasul. And the Gemara continues and brings the second shchita. Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok omer pirchas she'amru b'tchila shchita. Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok explains that when our Mishnah speaks about pirchas, it's referring to the time frame that's at the beginning of Shechita, and once we see that an animal can be mefaches at the beginning of Shechita, so it must be strong enough that it would certainly stay alive until Sev Shechita. And the Gemara tells us, Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok min Amila, and Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok says that what is my raya, I'm correct, that Pirchas she'amru is b'tchila Shechita. Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok will also bring a raya from our Mishnah, as the Tnan, as we learned in our Mishnah, that Rav Shimon, Hashaych b'Laylu, L'mocha Matza Kastala Maleim Dam, Kasheir Shazinka, Uchamidus Rabbi Lezer. And Rav Shimon was discussing the sheet of Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Lezer stated that as long as an animal coughs up blood, then it would be considered kosher. And Rav Shimon teaches us that if someone is sheichet in Musukenes at night, and we know that if someone shechs at night, that at least b'di'evit it would be kosher, but over here we're not sure if it was mefachis or not, and therefore Rav Shimon says that as long as when you come in the morning, you find that there's blood on the outside of its neck, so it must be that it was zinkar, and therefore it would be kosher according to the sheet of Rabbi Lezer. And Rav Nachman b'Yisrael continues, V'omash Shmuel, Kaisel Beis Shechita Sheninu, when Rabbi Lezer explains that we found that was Malayim Dam, not referring to finding Dam on the walls of the slaughterhouse, it's referring to finding Dam on the outside of the throat of the animal. The animal must have coughed at the time of Shechita, and that's why there's blood on the outside of the neck of the animal. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak now continues and brings a raya that E Amr Bishlema B'tchila Shechita then Shapir, however, El E Amr B'Sev Shechita, Leichesh Duma B'tchila Shechita Zinka, Bishlema, if we hold that even if one has a sign of life at the beginning of Shechita, so then it would make sense as to how Shmuel is explaining our Mishnah. Rav Shimon teaches us that as long as we find that there's blood on the outside of the neck of the animal, certainly the behemoth had to cough up this blood at some point after the sheichet started cutting the neck of the animal. Therefore, if we would hold that as long as the animal coughed even at the beginning of Shechita, then that would suffice, then certainly this animal coughed at some point after Shechita, and either at the beginning or the middle or the end, and certainly this would be a sign of life. However, if we would hold that a sign of life and pircha is only a raya if it actually occurred in the middle of the Shechita or at the end of the Shechita, or if you rava a drop after Shechita, by by the fact that one finds some blood on the outside of the neck of the animal, that does not prove that it actually was alive at the entire time of the Shechita, as it could be that a kof is his blood at the beginning of Shechita, and maybe right after that it already died. How could it be that Reb Shimon would hold that this animal that was a Musukenes would be kosher? Therefore, Zok Reb Nachman by Yitzchak, that clearly we have a raya that Pecha She'amru is Betchila Shechita. However, the Gemara continues and yes on this raya, the Dilma Shani Zinik to Odev, that although certainly from our Mishnah, Reb Nachman by Yitzchak has a raya that when the animal coughs of blood, then even if it happens at the beginning of Shechita, then that would be a sign of life. If the animal was so strong at the beginning of Shechita and it was able to cough of blood, then certainly it did not die before the end of Shechita, and that's why it would be kosher. Whether possibly by any of the other signs of life that we mentioned in our Mishnah, possibly since they're not as strong of signs of life, possibly those signs of life would have to be either be'emtza Shechita or be'sev Shechita. And as Rashi states, v'dilma lo'ilam shapich husim lo'yhavi pichas el be'emtza oy b'gma Shechita v'shani zinuk to'odav chiyusei u'pichas gadolhu hilkoch afilu b'tchila Shechita zinka shapir domi, then that would suffice. However, the Gemara continues that this question on the right of Reb Nachman Yitzchak is only if you could prove when a behemoth coughs up blood, that is a greater sign of life than any of the other cases of pichas. However, the Gemara points out, umi odav, but is it true that zinuk is actually a greater proof of life than the other signs of life? But v'atnam, we learned in our Mishnah, Reb Elazar Eimer dayim zinka, that since after Reb Gamliel, who was the first sheet of our Mishnah, stated, asher tepachis biyad uber egel, that in order to show a sign of life, an animal has to move both its foreleg as well as its hind leg. The Reb Elazar, who was the second sheet of our Mishnah, stated, dayim zinka, that would suffice even if it's only zinka. Therefore, we see that zinka is less of a sign of life than when an animal moves both its foreleg as well as its hind leg. Therefore, Reb Nachman by Yitzchak's raya from our Mishnah would be valid. However, the Gemara states, kal medram gamliel v'adip min rabbanon, that although it's true that certainly it's more kal than the sheet of Reb Gamliel, certainly when an animal moves both its foreleg and its hind leg, so that shows a lot of chiyus, and that would even be more than coughing up blood. However, the share of zinuk and coughing up blood would be a greater sign of life than the share of the rabbanon that we saw at the end of the Mishnah that stated as long as the animal moves either its foreleg or its hind leg, that would suffice, and therefore Reb Nachman by Yitzchak's raya from Mishnah would not necessarily be a valid raya, as although we definitely could prove even if an animal coughs up blood at the beginning of Shechita, then that would be a valid sign of life. It could be because that is a greater sign of life than if the animal moves either its foreleg or its hind leg, and possibly the only way that that would be a sign of life is only if that would occur either be'emsa Shechita like Rav Chista or be'sev Shechita like Rava. However, the Gemara now continues and proves that Rav Nachman by Yitzchak's raya is actually a valid raya, and zinuk or coughing up blood is a low sign of life, since we see in our Mishnah that even if an animal coughs up blood at the beginning of Shechita, that's a valid sign of life, and certainly all the other simanim that we see in our Mishnah would also be a valid sign of life if they occur at the beginning of Shechita. And as the Gemara continues, Amar Ravina, Amuli Sama Bachalkai, that Ravina stated in the name of Sama Bachalkai, Akshi Ba'avud Ba'abuvram, the father of Ba'abuvram, which really refers to Abuvram himself, who was the father of Ba'abuvram. And Rashi points out that the reason why we call him the father of the son of Abuvram, instead of saying that Abuvram asked this question, is because Makirin Ha'yus HaBen V'lo Yisav V'yikirin Ois Al Shem B'noi also as B'noi Simon Loi. And as the Gemara states, for Amrilon, some say it was Ahud Ba'avram that was the brother of the son of Abuvram, which would also have the same question as L'chir, the brother of the son of Abuvram is also the son of Abuvram. However, we could say that in this case it would make sense as maybe he was only a half brother and he wasn't the son of Abuvram. He has to question that how can you say that the Simon of Zinog is actually a greater sign of life than the simonim that the Rabbanon gave in our Mishnah of Asher Tepachis Oy Biyad Oy Buregel Oy Asher Tekashkesh Biznova, as Vatnan, as our Mishnah continued and brought down the third Shita, Racham Oymim Asher Tepachis Oy Biyad Oy Buregel, and Rabbanon Ahayakaimu, and when the Rabbanon said the Shita, who were they actually responding to? Ilema Ad Rav Gamliel, as if they were going back on the Shita Rav Gamliel, and they were saying that even though Rav Gamliel holds when a behemoth is a Musukenes, there's a requirement that the animal has to move both its foreleg and its hind leg, and then Rav Gamliel is saying that the behemoth would only have to move its foreleg or its hind leg. Lashon Chacham should not have been Ad Shetefaches Oy Biyad Buregel and Kivin Shepichsum Yibaylei. Rabbanon should have said Kivin Shepichsa Biyad Buregel, that would suffice. Therefore, El Pshita Ad Reb Elazar. So it must be that that the Lashon Chachamim is going back on the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, and even though certainly Rabbi Elazar was more makel than Rabbi Gamliel, and he stated Dayim Zinka, the Chachamim now respond to Rabbi Elazar, and they stated Asher Tepaches Oy Biyad Oy Beregel Oy Asher Techashkesh Biznava. The Gemara therefore is the Odif Mayad, if the Siman of Rabbi Elazar of Imzinka is actually a higher level of a proof of life than the Shear of the Chachamim, then the Chachamim should not have used Lashon Ad. Once again, they should have stated that would be a sign of life, and certainly if it would spit up blood, that would be a sign of life. Therefore, the Gemara proves that the Shita of Rabbi Elazar of Dayim Zinka is actually the lowest level of proof of life, and the strongest proof of life in our Mishnah is the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel of Asher Tepaches Biyad of Regel. The second strongest is the Shita of the Chachamim of Asher Tepaches Oy Biyad of Regel Oy Asher Techashish Biznavar. The weakest proof of life is the Shita of Rabbi Elazar of Dayim Zinka. Therefore, the raya that Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak brought from our Mishnah is a valid raya, as since clearly in our Mishnah we see that even an animal would spit up blood, which is the weakest of the proof of life, and it would be done at the beginning of Shechita, then that would suffice, and that would show us this animal must have been alive at the end of Shechita as well. Therefore, certainly by all the other signs of life that we mentioned in our Mishnah, it must be that even if those would occur at the beginning of Shechita, then that would also prove that this animal was strong enough, would certainly stay alive until the end of Shechita. And before we continue with the Shita of Rava, who we already mentioned that holds that proof of life must be at the end of Shechita, meaning immediately after the complete Shechita was done, so let us point out Rashi and Diba Maschel Amma Shmuel. Rashi is bothered that why did Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak have to bring down the member of Shmuel when Rabbi Shimon explained that if someone shechs a mesukenes balayla, and as long as in the morning he finds that the kselim of Malayim Dam, the animal will be kosher, as Shezinko, Chemidus Rabbi Elazar, so why do we have to bring down the member of Shmuel that Kaisabe Shechita Shenino? Rabbi Shimon is specifically referring to the outer walls of the neck and the throat of the behemoth, and what connection does this have to the Raya? And Rashi points out that the reason why Agamar had to point out, we're referring specifically to Kaisabe Shechita and not to the walls of the actual slaughterhouse. The Gemara feels that if we would actually be referring to the walls of the slaughterhouse, then Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak would not have raya, as Eina Chinami in the morning, you'd be able to tell if the blood that's on the walls happened at the beginning of Shechita or closer to the end of the Shechita, as if the zinuk occurred at the beginning of Shechita and the animal coughed up blood at the beginning of Shechita, and that is the blood that went onto the walls. Certainly at that point, the animal had more strength and the blood would have spurted close to the top of the wall. However, if it would be in the middle of Shechita or at the end of Shechita, then it wouldn't have been as strong and it would have spurted closer to the bottom of the wall. Therefore, Rabbi Nachman Ben Yitzchak would not have arrived in this case of our Mishnah. However, since Shmuel taught us that we're talking about the walls of the throat of the animal, if the outside of the walls of the throat of the animal have blood on them, we would not be able to tell if that blood happened because the animal coughed at the beginning of Shechita or in the middle or after Shechita. And therefore, by the fact that we said it's a valid simen, so it must be that even if you have a valid simen at the beginning of Shechita, then that would suffice. That is why this point of Shmuel is integral to the raya of Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, Ayin and Rashi. The Gemara continues and brings a third Shita as to the time that we have to have a sign of life in order for a behemoth that was a mesukenes to be considered kosher. And Rabbi Omar Pirchish Amru B'Sev Shechita, Rabbi states that the sign of life has to be at the end of Shechita. And as Rashi states, Soif Mamish Shetefachis B'Gmash Shechita, the Dehavi Bochias Ach Shechita, the animal has to be alive for a moment after Shechita. However, if there would only be a sign of life either in the middle of Shechita or at the beginning of Shechita, then certainly that would not suffice. The behemoth mesukenes would be considered an avela. Nayin Tesis, who's bothered, that certainly the Gemara already brought down the answer that Rava had on Rav Chista's raya from our Mishnah, and as the Gemara stated, Amalei Rava, that Rava responded to Rav Chista, and lo ilam b'sev shchita shani oimek kol she'ino isakim b'sev shchita b'yadua shenishmasan atulim and akoydom l'chein. But l'chir Rav Nachman Yitzchak's raya seems to be a very strong raya. How could Rava argue on Rav Nachman Yitzchak if we already proved that the lowest sign of life, which is zinuk, will even be valid if it occurs b'tchila shchita? Taisa's answer is that according to Rava, we don't have a suffix if the zinuk happened b'tchila shchita or b'sev shchita. Mishum l'shchicha shiyah zinuk el b'sev, as the standard would be that an animal coughs at the end of shchita and not at the beginning of shchita. Therefore, when Rabbi Elazar speaks about zinuk, he's referring to zinuk that occurs b'sev shchita, and that is the reason why it's a sign of life. And in a chinami, if an animal will cough at the beginning of shchita, that would not be a valid sign of life. Ayin sham. The Gemara now continues, Amar Rava, and Rava explains mina minla, and how do do I know that a sign of life is only when it happens beside Shechita? At the Tanya, we learn to the Braisa that the Pasuk in Pashas Emor states, Shari Chesav Ha'ez Ki Yivoleid B'ho Yeshivas Yom Tachas Imai U'miyoy Mashmini V'holo Yeiratza L'Karban Ishal Hashem. And we continue on Daf Lamnu Chesav Ha'ez, and our Gemara dashes this Pasuk as when the Pasuk states Shar Oy Chesav, so the Pasuk could have stated Shar V'Chesav, and therefore we learn Prat L'Klayim that this animal has to be specifically either a Shar or a Chesav or Ha'ez, and it can't be a mixture of two animals. Therefore, if one would cross a male goat with a female sheep, then that offspring would not be able to be brought as a carbon. And when the Pasuk states, Oyez, Pratlin Nidbar, so the Pasuk is telling us that even if two of the same species will breed and they will have an offspring that doesn't look like either the father or the mother, for example, if a male and female goat mate and then that child looks like a sheep, or if a male and female sheep mate and that child looks like a goat, or if the offspring doesn't look either like the father or the mother and it's mutated, so this animal would not be able to be brought as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. And Ayin Rashi at the top of Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Prat L'Klayim Ben Rachel V'Tayish Shepasul Carbon U'Mbuya Da'oy Darish Lei and Nidma Is Sheyoldo M'Tayish K'Maisa U'Bina Doyma L'Rachel. And as Rashi Masechtas Nida states, Prat L'Klayim Min Ha'Ezu Min Ha'Keves, Rashi explains Nidma Ovi V'Imoy Min Ha'Ez V'Hu Keves. And as Rashi Masechtas Baba Kama states, Nidma De'ina Doyma L'Ovi V'Loy L'Imoy Shebo Me'ayel V'Rachel V'Doyma L'Ez. And the Gemara continues that when the Pasuk states Ki Yevoleid, so we learn Prat L'Yetzei Daifin that the child has to be born from the mother and it has to come out of the mother's womb. And if an animal is born from a C-section, then the animal would be possible to be brought as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. Ayin and Taisis at the bottom of the Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and Ayin and Taisis Rosh, who actually brings this down a bit clearer, that the limud is not from the Mashmai, so the words Ki Yevoleid, but the limud is because Gamrino laid the Leidum in Bechor, and it's based on the Gzeir Shavah from Bechor, the Chesir Bey, Pet Rechem, Ki Yisir Perk Yetzei Daifin. And Taisis Rosh continues that why is it that we can't learn from the word Ki Yevoleid, and he explains, Vilayim Mashmais the Leida, the Adash Rabbanon, Isha Kesizri of Yolda Zacha, Asher Taylor, Mokin Shemazras, Vilayim Mai, Yetzi Daifim, Mashmais the Leida, and if not for the Xer Shava from Bechar, the word Ki Yevoleid would include an animal that was born from a C-section. However, Ayin Rabbeinu Gershom, who states that Pratli Yetzi Daifim, Shein and Neil Kedakai, and it's Mashmais, he's learning from the word Ki Yevoleid, and Ayin Rashi, who states, Shekuru Vaitziu, Pom Shemesu, Pom Shechaya, possibly Rashi holds that since the Pasuk states Ki Yevoleid, so it's mashma that in most cases this animal would live, and generally when an animal is born in a normal fashion, the animal will live. However, if it's born from a C-section, then many times the animal will not live, and therefore the Torah tells us that such an animal would not be royal mizbeach. And the Pasuk continued, V'ho yeshivas yamim, and we learn now, Prat l'machus hazman, that even if an animal had a mother, however the animal is not yet 7 days old, then it cannot be brought as a carbon. Finally, the Pasuk states, Tachas imai, Prat l'yosayim, and this teaches us that an animal that is a yosim cannot be brought as a carbon. And it's from this last drasha that Rava will learn that Pecha Sha'amru is b'sev shchita. And as Rava continues to explain, when the Torah stated Tachas imai, and we learn Prat l'yosayim, so ha yosim hechidami, when did this animal become a yosim? When did the mother die? As I le'imod yulud te'imei v'hadamesa, as if you will say that we're discussing a scenario where the mother already gave birth to the child and then died. So la'olam tesev v'tezel, you think that the mother has to live until the animal is brought as a carbon. And as Rashi explains, that since the Torah used lashon of tachas imai, so it's mashmor that as long as the child is in the world together with its mother for one moment, that would suffice. That is called tachas imai. And then Rashi is bothered that maybe the word tachas imai means that this behemoth has to be in this world for 7 days together with his mother. And as our pasuk states, v'ho yeshivas yomim tachas imai, and when Rashi brings from Rabbi Yisrael Glili that is found in Teres Kranim, that since the pasuk in Pashas Mishpatim that discusses the dinim of a bechor states, kein tassel l'shochel tzeinecha shivas yom yeh im imai b'ayim hashmi titnuli yachol shehei im imai kol zayin. So one would think that the pasuk is telling us that this animal has to be together with his mother for 7 days. Tamaloy metachas imai, there is no need for 7 days. However, itachas imai, if the Torah would just state the words tachas imai yachol afilu yotzim menek shimesa, so one would think that it means that it has to be replacing for its mother, and even if its mother died right before giving birth to this child, that this behemoth could be used as a carbon. Talmud loyma im imai, and that is why the pasuk in Pashas Mishpatim stated yia im imai is mashma sheshneim ba'ilam echad shtei kui imai, as that is the time that she is called his mother, and therefore we learn haketzad afilu neskay meloy imai sha'achas, that as long as the behema is together with its mother in this world for one moment, and the lashon tachas imay is the lashon of a replacement for its mother. Therefore, in our case of yilutei imay v'hadu mesa, that certainly there would be a kiyum of tachas imay. And the gemara continues, el de mesa v'hadu yilutei. If you will explain that when we learn pratli yosam, it is referring to where the mother died during childbirth. However, the gemara explains that that can't be what the Torah is teaching us by pratli yosam as mechiyav oled nafka, as we can already learn this from the pasuk, as the pasuk states kiyav oled. And since the mother died during childbirth, then certainly the only way to get this child out of the mother is by doing a C-section. Therefore, this would already be included in the limud of kiyav oled pratli yotzei dofen. And as Rashi explains, el de mesa v'hadu yilutei, and haynu yotzei dofen, as the kol shekaru v'yitzius vlada bein mesu bein chaya havi yotzei dofen. And it doesn't make a difference if the mother was alive or the mother died, is still considered a yotzei dofen. And haynu rabbeinu geshem, that even if the child is born through natural means and not done through a C-section, however, klima bezer inyan mechiyav oled nafka, as the kivan de mesa imei ein nela kedakoi kederach rov ha'nayladim, as the rov ha'nayladim b'chaye imam ha'nayladim. Therefore, our Gemara explains el pshita zu pirish lemisa v'zer pirish l'chayim. And when the Brisa teaches us that when the pasuk states tachas imay, it comes to teach us pratli yasam, so it's referring to a case where the mother gave birth to this child naturally, but at the exact moment that the child was born, the mother died, and therefore she was not in the world with the child for even one moment. And as Rashi explains, Vashmin and Kra, the Be'inu Chiyus Agma Leda Ula Achale de Ma'at, and it must be that the Torah is telling us that in order for an animal to be kosher, to be brought as a korban, the mother must live until the end of the Leda, and even a little bit after Leda, V'iloi Havale Yosam, and if not, then the child will be considered Yosam, Da Koche Haitachas Ima Lemute Chaya Be'emse Leda, O Mesa Begma Leda. See, and as our Gemara continues to prove this point, as E. Amr Bishlema Be'inu Chiyus Be'seif Leda, as if you will say that the Torah is requiring that the mother has to be alive for a little bit after Misa, so it makes sense why we need a special limud of Tachas Imud Pratli Yasam. However, Rava continues, Ela'i Amit Loi Be'inu Chiyusa B'Seif Leda, so Lam Malay Mechiyavolet Nafka, that if you will say that there's no requirement that the mother has to be alive for a moment after birth, then why would there be a need for a new limud of Tachas Imud Pratli Yasam? Even in this case, it would be included in the limud of Kiyavolet Pratli Yotzei Dofen. And as Rashi explains, that the raya of Rav is that Shema Mina Kol Milsa D'Boi B'Rabban Chiyusa Be'ina Shehechius B'Gmadilei, that we see from here that any time there's a requirement for something to be alive, then it has to be alive at the end of that period of time. Therefore, when our Mishnah taught us that when an animal is Mesukenes, we have to make sure that it was Mefacheses, that proof of life must be B'Seif HaShchita. And as we explain, Shetefaches B'Gmad Shchita, that the heavy Bachias Ach HaShchita, and it should still have some Chiyus after Shchita. I know Mefarshim who point out that it's a bit Tzarech Bir as to how Rav is comparing the din of the Braisa of Tachas Imay Pratli Yosam, where clearly the Torah is teaching us that there's a requirement that at least for one moment in time, the mother and the child have to be in the world at the same time, and therefore certainly the mother has to live for a moment after the birth. While in our Mishnah, Bayim Mesukenes, so in that case, we just have to make sure that the animal was alive at the time of death, and maybe it means B'Seif Shchita. And how do we know that has to be Mefacheses a little bit after Misa as well, but Tzarech Bir? The Gemara now continues, and we'll bring a member of Rava, and it would seem that most of the dinim that Rava will teach us, we already learned in our Mishnah, as Amar Rava Hilchos Kiha Masisa, that the Halacha follows the following Braisa, and the Braisa teaches us, Behem Daka Shepashti Yadav Leichzira Psula, and some Anakir is the word Daka, since this will be one of the points of the Braisa, if one Shechs a Behem Daka that was a Musukenes, and the Behem Daka's forearm was bent over, and it stretched out its forearm, and did not return it to the bent position, then it would be puzzle. And as our Mishnah taught us, she'ino elo hitzos nefesh bilvad, and some agurius hechzira k'shira. And then the Braisa teaches us, b'medra amun biyad, that this was only stated by the forearm of the animal, av b'rego bein pashto v'le kofa, bein kofa v'le pashto k'shira. However, if one shechted a behem adak, and it was a musukenes, and one of its back legs, which is heavier, was bent over, and then it stretched out its leg, and it didn't bend it back, or initially its back leg was straight, and it bent its leg, however it didn't straighten it out again, in all those cases it would be kshira. The Braisa also teaches us, b'med v'amun b'daka, that this halacha was only stated by b'him b'daka, al b'gasa b'im b'yad b'im b'regel, b'im pashto v'le kofa, b'im kofa v'le pashto kshira, that by b'him b'gasa, wouldn't make a difference if it moved its foreleg or its hind leg, and as long as it takes one action, then it would still be kosher. And if someone would shecht an oif that wasn't musukenes, then it just moved its wing a little bit. And as Rashi states, that the lashon rifrev is less than kishkosh, or if it would only move its tail, then that would be a proper kishkosh, and the oif would be kosher. The Gemara is now bothered that why would Rava have to teach us that hilchos akiha masisa, but my kamashbalan kula tanani, that l'chayr there's no chiddush in the din of Rava, as certainly we pass like a stam mishnah, and all these dinim could be learned from our mishnah. As the Gemara explains, that since our mishnah told us behem medaka shepashtu yadav leichzir psula she'in ala itzes nefesh, and certainly we can medayek yad in regaloi and daka in gasaloi, and therefore what is the chiddush of Rava? And the Gemara states that in a chenami, that's not the chiddush of Rava, and the chiddush of Rava is oifish ruchalei deloitnan, and since the dinim of an oif was not taught us in our mishnah, therefore Rava taught us that these dinim are taught us in the brisa, and that lacha follows the brisa. And Ayin Ramban who points out that even though brisa taught us for oif afilu erifreif elagapoi for the kishkesh elaznava erezer pechais lab lemeimra the behima loyavi pechais, that this is not teaching us that kishkesh nava by behima is not kishkesh el mishum the kishkesh zon of boiv dovakalu hayisi savish leitala, and whether certainly by behima kishkesh zon of pechais gadol who kistam asisin, and certainly that would be valid. Ayin the Aruch who is gurus in our Gemara, and the Lashon Rifreif is like Herf Ayin, and it refers to the eyelid of the oif and not to its wing, Ayin Sham. And the next Mishnah teaches us, Hashaykh Loivikhov Mishkitasik Sheira, Rebeleza Paisal. And certainly we know that if a guy or a Jew shechs an animal and they had kavana that should be used for Avodah Zarah, certainly that would be called Zivchei Mesim, and just like a mace is Asabana, and so too this behemoth would be Asabana. However, our Mishnah brings a machlekes, as the Tanakhama holds, that if Yisrael shechted an animal for a guy, and certainly the Jew did not have kavana for Avodah Zarah, then the shechita would be valid. However, even so, Rabbi Elazar holds that the shechita would be pasul, and the animal would be asabana, and I in Tezis Diva Maschal Psula, Shestam Machshavas Evichavim Lavidis Kichavim, and Tezis bothered that in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Tesan Abayz, the Mishnah will teach us Hashaykh L'Shem Harim, and the Mishnah uses the term Psula, and we are Medayik Psula in Zivchei Mesim Loi, and Pirish V'loi Mechsuri Bana, V'hochik Toni Rabbi Elazar on Mepsula, V'afagav Dasura Afbana, and even though certainly it would be Asabana, and as we will see clearly in our Gemara, and Tezis explained that although certainly on Daf Lamed Tesan Abayz, Gemara makes a proper Diak, Medloik Toni Arei Elu Zivchei Mesim, Avalhacha Aydi Da'am Rabbanon Kshira, Om Rabbeleza Psula. However, in our Mishnah, since Rabbanon had to use the term Kshira, therefore Rabbeleza stated Psula, even though Rabbeleza holds that not only is it Puzzle, but the animal will also be considered Zivchei Mesim and will be Asubana. And keep in mind that in a moment, the Mishnah will bring a third Shita. However, the Mishnah first continues that Om Rabbeleza, Afilu Shchata Lechol Loivu Gachov Mechatzak Kovit Shala Psula, even if a Jew bought this animal from a guy and he bought the entire animal aside for the diaphragm, so even though the Jew will be shechting the animal for himself and the Jew didn't have the kavana for Avodah Zarah, however, since the Avodah Kechavim still has the right to the Chatzah Kaved, therefore the Shechita would be Pasol and the entire animal would be Asabana. And as Rabbi Elazar explains, Sheshtam Achshav is Avodah Kechavim, Avodah Kechavim, as we have to take it for granted that any time that a guy owns an animal or owns even a part of an animal, that when someone's doing Shechita, the guy has kavana that he wants the Shechita to be done for Avodah Zarah, and therefore the animal would be Asabana. And clearly Rabbi Elazar holds that even though the guy is not doing the shechita, but since he's the owner, so his machshava will have an effect on the behemah and will cause it to be asubana. However, the Mishnah continues that Amar Rabbeisi, and Rabbeisi will be chilek and Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbeisi will hold that even by hegdish, only machshava zara that will passel an animal by hegdish is only from the sheichet, and only the kohen can passel the animal through his kavana or through his dibur. However, an owner's machshava or an owner's dibur cannot passel the animal. Therefore, Zok Rabbeisi, Kavuchim Ma'advarim, Uma B'mokim Shemachshava Paisel B'mukdashin, Ma'adach by Hegdish, where we know that intent is very important, and intent would passel a carbon, could make a carbon pigol, and even so, we only follow the one that's doing the Avodah, and only the Kohen's Machshava could passel the Avodah, and could passel the carbon, and therefore, certainly, Mokim She'im Machshava Paisel B'chulin, certainly by an animal of Chulin, where generally Machshava doesn't passel Chulin, so Eino Yidin, Shleihei Akol Hoylech, Ela Acha Sheichet, certainly the only time it should be pasul is only based on the machshava of the sheichet, not of the bailim. And Ayin Rashi who points doubt that the Gemara will ask that my komar the high machshav of these kichavim possible behud the hazuf chemisi mikru, that certainly machshav does passel by chulin, and as we know, if someone had machshav for avodah zarah, then certainly even chulin would be zivchei mesim and would be asubana. And as we previously explained, that ma mes asubana after kreves avodah zarah masur bana. And keep in mind that based on the pasuk in Parshas Tzav and Perek Zayin pasuk Yud Ches, where the pasuk is speaking about the issur pigol, the pasuk tells us v'mei ochli yoyochol min besar zevach shlomo bayoy mashlishi lo yirotza hamakrav oisay lo yechashu lo yipigol yia va'nefesh yichels b'menu avoy natisa. This pasuk clearly seems to be like Rabbi Yisi, that it's only a makrav oisay lo yechashev, the only time that machshava would be a psul is only based on the makrav and only based on the one that's doing the avodah. However, l'maisin pasuk shlach in Perek Tezvav pasuk dalid, when the pasuk is speaking about the Bible and bringing the sachim, and the pasuk states v'hikrav hamakrav korbanoy l'Hashem minchas seilas yisarim balo berviyas ayin shaman, and clearly the Torah refers to the Bailim as the makrav of the korban. Therefore, as we will see, the Tanakam Rebbe Leza chiluk Rabbi Yisi, they hold that by kochim not only can the kohen or the one that's doing the avoida passel the avoida through machshava, but machshava of the Bailim will also passel the korban. And before we begin with the Gemara, let us point out that Rashi explains that since we have three shittos in our Mishnah, even though it seems that the Tanakama holds exactly like Rabbi Yisi, as the Tanakama stated, Hashcheichel Evik Chachav Mishchitasek Sheira, and this seems to be the halacha of Rabbi Yisi as well. However, Zok Rashi that if so, Hainu Tanakama, Hainu Rabbi Yisi. Therefore, our Gemara will try to explain what the basis is for the Machlekes in our Mishnah. And as our Gemara begins, Hain Tanoi Islu Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yisi. Although certainly there is a Machlekes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Lezer, however, they both agree to one point, and they both agree to the sheet of Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yisi. The Tanyan, as we learned in the Braisa, that Amar Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yisi Shemaiti Shabaylim Mefaglin, the Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yisi heard that not only will the Machshava of the Kohen, or the one that's doing the Avodah, cause pigol, but even the Machshava of the Bailim will create pigol, and not like Rabbi Yisi holds in our Mishnah. And if so, the Gemara is bothered that what would be the basis for the Machlekes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Lezer, as the Chayyur Rabbi Lezer should be correct, that if someone Shechs for Avodah Chavim, then since the owner of this animal is Avodah Chavim, and his Kavana is for Avodah Chavim, certainly the animal should be Zivchei Mesim, and should be Pasol, and should be Asabah Na. And the Gemara explains, Miu Tanakam Sava, Ishamina de Choshev in Eloi Loi, as Tamachshavas Avodah Chavim, Avodah Chavim, Loi Aminon. The Tanakama explains that certainly if the Bailim would actually say that I'm having Kavana, the Shechita of the Yisrael should be for Avodah Zarah, then certainly it would be Pasol, and certainly it would be Asabah Na. However, our Mishnah is discussing a case where Avodah Chavim did not say anything, and the Tanakama holds that we do not have a cloud that Stam Machshavas Avodah Chavim, Avodah Chavim, and therefore the Shechita of the Yisrael was a proper Shechita, and that's why it would be kosher. However, Rabbi Lezer Sava and Rabbi Lezer Schilch on the Tanakama, as he holds, Afagav Dele Shamine de Choshev, even though the Avodah Chavim did not explicitly state that the Shechita of the Yisrael should be for Avodah Zarah, however, we have a cloud that Stam Machshavas Avodah Chavim, Avodah Chavim, therefore the Shechita would be Pasol, and it will be Zivchei Mesim, and the animal will be Asar Bana. And based on this point, so the Gemara explains what the sheet of Rabbi Yisi is, and how is it that Rabbi Yisi is being Chilk on the Tanakama, as for Asar Rabbi Yisi Lameimar, Avagav the Shemina de Choshev, Zem Chashev Zer Ivid Loyaminon, even in a case where we actually hear the Goy explicitly state that the Shechita of the Yisrael should be for Avodah Zarah, even so, his Machshava would not passel the animal, and it would not be Zivchei Mesim. The only time that Machshava would actually have any effect on the behema, only in a similar case to Kachim, where basically Shitasa holds that the only time Machshava will create pigol is only the Machshava of the one that's doing the Avodah and not of the Bailim, and therefore by Chulin as well, only Machshava that could cause a psul is only the Machshava of the Sheichet and not the Machshava of the Bailim. Ayin Rashi points out that even though Rabbi Yisi is discussing Chulin, however, our Gemara used Lashon of Zeh Mechashev Zeh Oved, and as Rashi points out, Mishum Shechitas Pnim Nakala, that Filo B'Korban this is actually the main point of Rabbi Yisi, since he learns this from a Kal V'Chomer from Kachim. However, our Gemara continues, Ikad Amri, that others have a different version as to how to explain the machlekes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Lezer and our Mishnah. And as Rashi points out, that certainly both the Tanakam and Rabbi Lezer agree by Kachim, not only will the Machshav of the Oyved create pigol, but even the Machshav of the Bailim can't create pigol. The machlekes will be if we actually extend this halacha to Chulin, or this would only be a din by kachim and not by chulin. And as the Gemara explains, but shemina de choshev pligi, that the machlekes in our Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Lezer Gemara is in a case where the Goy explicitly states that when the Yisrael is shechting my chulin, my machshava is for Avodah Zarah. As Tanakama Savar, as the Tanakama holds, that even though the Bailim had a machshava that should be for Avodah Zarah, his machshava would be loiv ma'ilu v'loiv ma'irid, and the shechita would be valid, as ki amin and zem chashav is oived, hani milu b'fnim, as although certainly the Tanakama agrees to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yisi, that by kochim, when the Bailim had machshava's pigol, that it would be considered pigol, that is only by kochim and not by chulin, as we can't learn dinam of chulin from dinam of hegdish. The ma'aseh limud that we saw in Pasha Shlach was only b'negei nesachim and only b'negei hegdish. And as the Gemara states, al b'chutz loy, and we continue on daf lamed testament aleph as chutz mipnim lo yalfinan, and ayin Rashi at the top of daf lamed testament aleph lo yalfinan lo meima b'ilam oisrin. The only time that an animal will become asur ba'ana is only based on machshava of the actual person that shechs the animal. And as the pasuk in Tehillim states, zivchei mesim shenizbech lo v'yizkichavim, and is referring to the person that shechs an animal for avodah zarah. And as we explained, that the pasuk in Pasha Shlach is specifically talking about kochim, the befnim who dechsev v'hikriv ha-makriv, the bailim kari makriv, al b'chus le'amir n'hochi. The Gemara continues, v'osir Rabbi Elazar l'meimah, yafinu chutz befnim. However, Rabbi Elazar says, not only do I hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yisi b'degei kochim, but I also learn chutz befnim, and therefore I would apply this din to chulin as well. Therefore, even though the Yisrael did shechita, since the owner had kavana that should be l'shem avodah zarah, therefore the animal will be considered as if chay mesim, it would be asur b'ana. And ayin Rashi, Rabbi Elazar savi alfinan, and Rashi explained that it's based on the mamatzinu, the bailim paisel machshav zev yischavim b'chulin, even if someone else performs shechita, the gabay v'chavim afilu b'stama, the stam machshav zev yischavim la v'yischavim. And Rashi points out that even according to the Kedamri, Rabbi Elazar would hold that stam machshav zev yischavim is la v'yischavim, and it's a bit tzarech biyar how Rashi knows this. And although Rashi in our sugya states that this is based on the mamatzinu, Rashi in Masechta Zvachim and daf mem zayin amar alta explains that yafinu chutz mipnim davidis chavim dumi davidis pnim chayi barachmana k'raminu ba'abal misayis zaveach ala kim yechram bilti l'ashem levadoi. We learn out avidis haruyas l'mokim chayi b'hu ba'avidis chavim bein shedaka b'kach bein she'in daka b'kach, since we find that we learn the dinam of avidis zara from the dinam of hegdish. Therefore Rashi explains hilkach l'inim achshav v'nami ikal l'migmurim b'fnim, so we can learn the din of chulin from the din of kachim ayin sham. Finally the Gemara continues, v'asra Rabbi Yisi l'meima, and certainly Rabbi Yisi is chilek on the Tanakama as well as in Rabbi Yisi. Rabbi Yisi holds afilu b'fnim nami zem mechashav zeh oivid lo'yaminon. Rabbi Yisi argues in Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yisi, he holds that even by kachim the machshav of the bailim will not cause something to become pigol. As we already explained, Rabbi Yisi holds that when the pasuk and pashas tzav states ha'makriv lo'yichashav, that makriv mamish kama, this specifically refers to the one that's doing the avodah and not to the bailim, and we will stop over here.